This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Feel the pissy dribble, you can piss up a rope and watch me giggle. For the last 6 months, I've been packing your bag.
You're listening to KPFT Houston 90.1 FM and 89.5 in Galveston.
Take great pride in what's happening to the gay community and what's going to happen.
People of Dade County have said enough, enough.
There's no question in my mind that the people of California don't want homosexuals teaching in their classrooms.
State Senator John Briggs has just conceded the act.
Both Mayor Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk have been shot and killed.
Ann White has been found guilty of one count each of voluntary manslaughter.
It has now broken loose. Cops are now bashing heads.
And here comes the National March on Washington for lesbian and gay rights.
Gay power, gay politics. That's what this report is about.
There are gay and lesbian people singing out here. What's your reaction to that?
I think it's terrible. It had a rocket thrown at them.
The real message of these gay gangs is that every one of us is a winner.
Tonight, we are marching as are others across America, and we shouldn't have to be.
Body say it so they can hear you in the Capitol! For love and for life!
Robin Tyler on the stage leading the chant. For love or for life, we're not going back.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the National March on Washington, D.C. for gay and lesbian rights and coral reciting. Let's hear it out there! I'm Leah Delaria.
I'm Bruce Hopkins.
I want you to savor this next moment. I have the proud task of telling you that the official count of the lesbian and gay rights march, the official count is over 500,000 strong! 500,000 strong! Look at you!
Once and for all, shatter them. We must continue to speak out, and most importantly, every gay person must come out. Difficult as it is, you must tell your immediate family, you must tell your relatives, you must tell your friends if indeed they are your friends, you must tell your neighbors, you must tell the people you work with, you must tell the people in the stores you shop in. And once they realize that we are indeed their children and we are indeed everywhere, every myth, every lie, every innuendo will be destroyed once and for all. And once you do, you will feel so much better.
Yeah!
Do you have a few words for KPFA?
Yeah. Come on out. Join us. Bring a friend.
What do you think about the turnout so far?
Well, it's never enough. Never enough. Never enough.
And I ask people all over this country to do one thing. Come out.
I said I like that Harvey Milk thing.
Boy, I know.
Every time I hear it.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on the Saturday, September 9th edition. My name is Chris Harrison. I'm your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
Boy, it's talking to a quiet room. It was like last week.
Careful.
No, it was... I had a lot of fun doing that remote.
That was interesting. I really liked it. And I loved the part where I called in and talked to you, and I said, well, you know, should we cut it off? Because it was getting close to, you know, what we had talked about. And he said, oh, God, yes, you know, we're dying here. And then you went for another half hour.
It does that. You know, I thank God I'm not a doctor, because, you know, I'd have so many people waking up in the morgue. I declared the puppy dead. That was day three of it, basically, for me, of convergence. And I was dead tired. And then I lost some of my audience with the technical difficulties.
Oh, I know.
And so it was like, I was feeling beat, but all of a sudden, it's just like when we did last year, when we did 2 years ago at Free East Coast Conference, you know, we weren't planning on going into gay marriage, and somebody popped into it, and then all of a sudden, it's a half-hour discussion on gay marriage.
And it was great.
And this one here, like a smaller, more intimate crowd with the people, we had a... Originally, it was going to be up in the concierge suite, but there was it was under construction, so we actually took part of the ballroom.
Oh.
And we were set up in there.
Mm-hmm.
And
there was one guy, and, you know, there was a lot going on here in the meantime, but he sounded so much like me.
Hmm. I have to go back and listen.
Yeah.
I forget there.
And not so much, well, actually, a lot in the voice, but also in his phrasing and mannerisms and hesitations like yeah. I do.
it was an interesting thing. It was weird the way we were set up. We were kind of at some table rounds,
mm-hmm.
and I had a microphone, and we had another microphone on a long cord that kept getting passed around.
Oh.
So that's why you heard a lot of this dragging. I said, it's like, you know, turn it down, turn it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a strange experience from doing it with ECC, mm-hmm. and we had Odie and brought in, you know, tons and tons of equipment.
Yeah.
I walked down with a laundry basket, basically.
Goodness.
That carried everything I needed. a little mixer, one of the old CD players that we don't use here anymore to play the music.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I was...
That's right. With Odie, it was like two car fulls.
Yeah, I mean, load up seven. This one worked well. I could have used a bigger equipment if I wanted, but it didn't need it with the crowd I had in there. But it went surprisingly well. You know, when you walk in to an event with 100 prepaid registrations and walk out with 200.
Wow. That's nice.
We were floored. The hotel was great to us. They were.
I'll bet they were when you bring in that many people.
I mean, I don't know what her official title is. Our account rep, mm-hmm. our liaison with the hotel, or banquet manager, whatever. She checked into the hotel that weekend for us.
No kidding.
So that if there was a problem, and when we had some, you know, we called her immediately, and you know,
wow.
I mean, she was there. I gotta say that whoever hires to help out with their banquet staff, we should have gotten him something. There was
Pretty Boys.
Kareel, if you're out there, hi. He's been in the United States for 2 months. He's from Russia.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he was, you know, does he, short, blonde.
Does he put out?
Sadly, no.
Oh.
But no, he was like walking along the bank, and I'm walking behind him, panting, and mm-hmm. all the guys are laughing. I kind of stop when he turns around, and he goes off there, and I said, you know, I can't help it. You know, my inner priest was just screaming, hallelujah. Between that Russian boy and there was a couple South Asian boys that were there, it's mm-hmm. like, you know, I was going to declare my room the UN. But no, it was, you know, it was a nice time, you know.
And this hotel was what?
It's the Marriott Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last place you think about putting something in
yeah.
like this. But, you know.
Unless it's, you know, a convention for spry.
Yeah, but I mean.
You know, because you're right close to the medical center there. In case.
Yeah, it wasn't for the medical center part that we were looking for, even though, you know, there was a couple instances we did need.
Mm-hmm. Yes, as a matter of fact, it came in handy.
Yeah, I mean, it was. We had one person who came down, he said, asking where to go to the hospital, and I said, well, do you need an ambulance or can you walk a little? And he said, you can walk. I said, well, in the middle of the street's the train. $2, you go up two stops.
There you are.
You're at Memorial Hermann. You're right there.
Ta-da.
But no, I mean, the reason we got it was the fact if, you know, if you step out from the distance from the elevator to your bed, to the front door of your room, at most 20 paces.
Oh, I see.
You know, you come down, you go to the hospitality suite, it's 20 paces, you're into the hospitality suite, 40, you're into the banquet hall.
Mm-hmm.
So, for people who are not well mobile,
right.
then, you know, this was a beautiful setup.
Sure.
Swimming pool, they said we use that swimming pool more than it's been used in the whole time they've been there.
You're kidding.
Well, you know, it's not like a family hotel, it's for, you know, travelers, and, you know, people who go in to use the that stuff is people who are there for the medical reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And huge pool. I mean, we took a good share of it, and we the hot tub said occupancy 5 people, and
oh my!
There, some points I think there was 20 in there, and we're not talking about the petite ones.
No, we're talking about the big men's club.
Yeah, you look. Yeah, they got out, and it was like, you know, the water level had gone down 2-3 inches. They had to refill it there a couple of times during our event.
Oops!
The other thing we were scared about is the pool's on the 4th floor.
Oh,
yeah, and hospitality's on 3rd floor. So we were like. But no, it was a, you know, it was a real fun time.
Good.
You know, the guys here were here from Houston. The Houston guys who we worked on it there. It was a lot of work, and the downs. I mean,
the downside when you work some of these things and you're putting so much into it, you know, you don't get to enjoy it as much as you, after you get done, it's like, oh, God, I wish I would have taken this time off to do this. Mm-hmm. Or, you know. So we all have that. But the crazy thing is this. We've already started talking about what's the next thing we do. We're that crazy, you know.
Wow.
Most clubs and organizations don't put on a major event until they've been around for like 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is our second major event, and we turned 4 years old in 2 weeks.
Wow.
So.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's a lot of fun putting it together, but, you know, it's one of those things that's wish, it's one thing you wish you can do all the work to get set up, and then, you know, you go and do this sort of thing. And we had a lot of help with some people here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You should have been over at the Ripcord on Thursday.
Oh.
It was packed.
Good.
We packed it. Our brother clubs from the Houston Council of Clubs had a little mini Louie run.
Mm-hmm.
There are some wonderful receptions that we had.
Very nice.
And like I said, I mean, that back patio was just packed with us, and we hung our colors finally.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying for a year to do that.
And what a nice time to do it.
Yeah, that's what we did. It was mm-hmm. kind of our, like I said, our anniversary. We were hanging our colors. We're getting ready for Convergence that officially opened the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of fun. Marcy Ray was out.
Yes. I'm sorry I missed that.
Yeah, she was mentioning me on there because we told her that you've got to play Desperate Old Guy. you've got to play that one, and she mm-hmm. did. Everyone was like, ah!
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was, you know, it was a lot of fun. We had that, you know, Southern Country came out, and, you know, we weren't sure how they were going to do teaching guys line dancing, especially as big guys. There had to be 40 guys out there learning to do a simple line dance.
Really?
Yeah, it was. We didn't know how.
Who
it would
knew?
Go, yeah, we didn't know how it would go over, you know. We did our show of shows.
Yes,
skits.
Yes.
And it went over pretty well, except for all of us swear the thing got longer. I think the difference is when we did the show of shows, we had all that adrenaline going.
Yes, yes.
When it came time to do this, we were exhausted already. But it was a lot of fun.
I'm glad.
And but you know what? Actually, I mentioned the A word, and we've got a more important A word to talk about of that.
And that has to do with the opening music.
There wasn't much music.
Well, actually, there was a lot of music, and it wasn't really what you'd call gay music. It
yeah.
was a piece of instrumental music that Buddy Johnston picked up somewhere along the line, and he only used it as a backdrop to put what he thought was more important, and that was all of those little snippets of pieces of gay history. The March on Washington that they were talking about was held the first year that this show went on the air, as a matter of fact. And we will have a prize to the first caller who can call in and give us that year.
And the number is 713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT.
Yes. And, of course, you're going to have to tell David whether it's...
He just walked in.
Okay.
He just walked in.
Okay.
Because this is the beginning of our anniversary.
It's our anniversary. We're not going to say which one because that would give away the answer to the question. But when you're listening to the music at the beginning, and they were talking about the March on Washington, and they were going 500,000 strong, one of the biggest marches in U.S. history. What year was that march? And it was also the year that After Hours first came on the air. And a second question, there will be fabulous prizes. Yes. What was the date of the first show?
The only person going to know that is Roy.
We have been talking about that. I mean, I've been talking about it almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the show, I've been putting in the date that we first went on the air now for weeks. Weeks.
And, you know, I mean, what we're going to be doing also tonight is...
And no one's calling in. Yeah. 713-526-5738. It looks like I get to keep my fabulous prizes. Anyway.
And the music you're going to be hearing tonight is some of...
It's music from the first 3 years of this show.
So it's 713-526-5. Hey, guess what, people? It's one of these times when you can call into the station and we're not going to beg you for money.
That's right. 713-526-5738. Poor David. No one has any idea. Anyway.
Well, I'm your co-host. I don't have any idea either. You think I listen to this show on here?
I've got an idea, baby.
I'll bet you do. Hello, Gigi. There's a piece of mail for you in the mailbox, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my.
Yes.
My. We've been afraid to touch it.
And for those of
you listening. Oh, my God, I've got the same shirt. I wear it to the gym.
An announcement for later when I come on the air.
Oh, I know what it is.
So, let's go just do some calendar stuff while we're... Oh.
Calendar stuff.
Someone's calling.
Okay. I hope so.
Calendar, the quickie, whatever these things are we do.
Okay, let's see. Well, tomorrow is Sunday, and you know what that means? That means breakfast at Mary's, starting at 10 a.m. Imperial Court of Houston will be serving breakfast from 10 until noon. That's the only way that Mary's gets to open at 10 o'clock on a Sunday.
Well, they can open, they just can't serve alcohol.
Well, that's
Mary's in the daylight and sober. God help us all.
They have cleaned it up quite a bit. You would be amazed. Absolutely shocked, probably.
I know, but any gay bar you go into and you're so used to seeing it, you know, 11 o'clock at night when you're half to three quarters and twice as drunk as you should be.
Mm.
And then you go in and during the day and it's like, this doesn't look the same.
Oh. And do you know that Friday was Brian Keever's birthday?
Get him a new. Get him some bicycle. Some cards for his bicycle.
I was thinking about a new walker, but
he's still pedaling himself all the way around this corner.
Yes, imagine that. Whew. Gosh. Oh, actually, no. It was last Friday. I'm off a week. Today's the 9th, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Forget it. Her birthday's old hat. But this Monday, on the 11th, will be the last Cartier's Cabaret and Show. That is where you come and come to Mary's, have dinner, and have a show. And it's like, I don't know, $5 or something cheap like that.
Didn't like that sound.
I don't know. Anyway, and of course, every Wednesday night is the jukebox show at Mary's, starting at 9-ish. And, you know, 8:30, 9:30, whatever. Whenever the
more-ish than 9.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, of course, next Saturday night will be an evening with the Royals. And I would hope that they would actually, both of them, show up. It would be nice.
God, you're asking for much.
Yeah, I know. I know it. And, of course, coming up is the big enthronement ball coming up the first week in October. And all the festivities going around then. But I'm sure the Royals will be telling you all about that next week. And what have you got?
Yawn.
I noticed that.
I'm still playing catch up. I mean, like I wanted to steal that bed. God. Should I have used the tacky joke I said before about the beds?
Go ahead.
Yeah. The beds there, it was, you know, it was like crawling into a womb and not having to worry about a vagina.
Mm-hmm.
It was,
Oh, well.
Okay. That was neat. I jiggled my cord and my hearing went.
All of a sudden, it goes out, yes.
Oh, it went on yours, too?
No, it happens. I know how that
it happens
is.
To most guys.
Jiggle it and it goes out?
Yeah.
Mm.
I got a pill for that. Oh. There are times when, in keeping with our historic origin, She Camp feels its need to stretch its wings. This is one of those times. Mid-September through mid-October is Hispanic Heritage Month, and we're going to celebrate with the community by bringing Jade Estefan Estrada to perform the Houston premiere of his one-man show, Tortilla Heaven. GCAM, which preserves the history of our diverse community through collecting, archiving, and displaying memorabilia of the GLBT world, is the beneficiary of this show. It's going to be on Tuesday, October 3rd, 2006. A Build Your Own Fajita dinner starts at 7:30. Pre-show entertainment when Jay takes the stage at 8:45.
Mm-hmm.
There will also be a raffle and silent auction.
Mm-hmm.
This all takes place at 1415 California Street. If you want more information, you can check out gcam.org.
You bet.
There's also tables and other ways you can donate to GCAM.
Yes.
And especially if you're the owner of a storage facility looking for a tax write-off.
Oh, yeah. Boy, do we want to talk to you.
Any sort of space that's, you know, doesn't flood, has air conditioning.
There you go.
You know, large apartment you want. You know, you got rid of Louisiana people. You want to put something else in there that's safe. GCAM.org.
There you go.
The Bayou City Performing Arts is announcing open rehearsals for the second season of the Bayou City Women's Chorus at Covenant Church, 4949 Caroline, as every Tuesday from 7 to 10 p.m. in September. Don't miss this opportunity to sing great music with great women. For more information, call 713-521-SING. Are you spry?
Now people will understand what I was talking about when I made that reference to spry earlier.
When did you make a... I'm going to start paying attention to the show, I guess.
No, just to me. Nobody pays attention to me.
Let's see. Panty Division did a song about it. It's called Reciprocate.
Mm.
Spry. Seniors preparing for rainbow years.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah. There was a group like that before over at Bering when they had a 20-something group called Gaydar.
Mm.
They said they were going to take the seniors group and they're going to call it Graydar. Then I think everything fell apart.
I think so.
Growing older may be difficult and lonely time for GLBT seniors, but you're not invisible and you shouldn't have to go back into the closet just because you're getting older and may need help. Spry thrives to shine a light into the lives of GLBT seniors and for them to be able to experience prideful, bold, and bright I need some fixadent. Bright rainbow years. Spry provides mental health and support services for GLBT seniors who are age 60 and older, including assessment, peer support, counseling, case management, and psychiatry.
As he looks at me.
There, Grandpa.
Yeah.
Spry services are free of charge to anyone who is GLBT and 60 or older. For more information, contact the Montrose Counseling Center at 713-529-0037 or call Legacy Community Health Services at 713-830-3025. For more information on the web, go to montrosecounselingcenter.org.
And tell him Ben sent you. He's my neighbor. He's part of the organization. Yes. Anyway,
I know Ben is pretty well qualified for this. That was confusing me. Going.
No.
Should I do the Spanish side?
No.
Es usted un spry.
Actually, believe it or not, one of the strongest supporters in our entire community has been Gallo.
Yeah, the
gay and lesbian Latino organization.
Yes, I was talking with Abel on that at the last Futures Meet conference.
Mm-hmm.
We had there. He was talking about working with Spry.
Absolutely, and Spry is so thrilled about all the support that they've received from Gallo.
They should have showed up at Convergence. They would have had a field day.
Ooh.
We have an older client.
Well, anyway, we haven't had no one's called in yet on our questions. And they're two separate questions. You don't have to have both of answers to both of them in the same call.
Because we don't have the answers to both of them.
But
we don't have the answers to all questions here.
We're talking about the opening music that we did at the show, and we had the woman talking about the March on Washington, in which she talked about they were 500,000 strong. It was the first March on Washington, and we wanted to know what year that was, because it was also the same year that After Hours first went on the air. And the second question, which doesn't have to be in the same phone call, what is the date that After Hours went on the air? So we do have fabulous prizes for anyone who can answer those questions at 713-526-5738.
The first or the second?
Oh, the second.
The second.
Oops! Never mind.
Smacked down by Google.
I know it.
Hey, does that give you a clue I can find the answer, people?
Oh, well. I forgot about that first one.
That pesky little one. I know the numbers we're talking about, and, you know, that's
a little off, yes. Okay. So.
Yeah, so if someone out there wants to get a prize there, just Google us.
You know, and the amazing thing is we went on the air probably before most of our next guests were born, because we have Hatch on tonight.
Yes, I had to bump.
Yes. And you had to bump them. Yes. Yes, you did.
Don't go there.
Also, for this anniversary show, we're going to be playing music just from that era. I think we said that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I...
Did you get him the answer so that he stops in person one or not?
I don't know. This has been a really terrible year for deaths in our community, and not only from not just from AIDS related.
It's been a terrible month, 2 months here.
Yeah, it's really been terrible, and I know we talked about Chris Baudier dying last week. But this week I wanted to mention that everyone is invited to attend a celebration of life for Chris Baudier. And it's going to be held at the Lazarus House. They have a wonderful backyard. Mm-hmm. And in case of rain, they have a wonderful inside, because that's where I work out 3 times a week. It's located at 4106 Austin. That's just a block and a half off of Wheeler/Richmond. Because Richmond becomes Wheeler after you pass Main Street. And it's happening next Sunday, September the 17th, from 1 to 3 p.m. There will be Finger Foods, hosted by Jerry Rockwell and Stephen Baker. Chris's parents, Joe and Marilyn Baudier from New Orleans, will be in attendance. They would very much like to meet the family that he created here in Houston. And in lieu of flowers, please make any donations to the Cult 45's AIDS Trouble Fund in Chris's name. And of course, please feel free to forward to friends of Chris's any who might not have heard this tonight. So this is a song that Buddy played for the Fallen, and Chris is certainly one of those.
really fits in and never keeps in time. So now I've started asking the question on my mind, what kind of self-respecting faggot am I? I moved to San Francisco. It seemed the place to be, but I'm not into disco. And bars intimidate me. My only can of Crisco is where it's supposed to be. What kind of self-respecting faggot am I? Don't own a single record by Barbara, Bett, or Judy. Heard of Betty Davis, but never saw her movies. Guess I'm irresponsible. My duty, what kind of self-respecting faggot am I? I don't read magazines like GQ. My hair's too long, my clothes are out of style. And when the conversation turns to Broadway shows, all I can do is sit and smile. On Sundays, don't own a set of weights. I wouldn't dream of screwing till after several days. I know it's quite pathetic. I might as well be straight. What kind of self-respecting faggot am I?
Dare I play doo-wop for the hatchlings? That was Romanowski and Phillips. What kind of self-respecting faggot am I? As we are working on our anniversary show, we have a winner on the first half of when the second... Hold on.
Yes, we do have a winner, and I'm giving up on the second question.
Well, there is a call. Well, there was.
No.
Yeah. But it was night... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No. It was 1987.
And the date was September 6th.
For the show.
Mm-hmm.
The march was October 10th, 11th.
Mm-hmm.
I keep jiggling the damn wire. Before that was Joan Baez with Brothers in Arms. And we are featuring the music this week of the music of the beginning of this. It's driving me nuts. It's a short drive, but every time I can't hear myself talking. This cord is bothering
me. I wish
me.
I didn't.
Click off your damn mic and I don't have to hear you talk. Keep this up and he's going to be wanting me to do more and more live remotes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yes, that was Joan Baez and Romanowski and Phillips.
Yeah, I was teasing Jimmy. I said, you know, we normally only play Joan Baez in January.
When I'm not here.
When he's not here. And he's like, what, you just play it because I'm not here? I said, no, we played around her birthday.
Okay.
Because she and I share a birthday.
Oh.
Several decades apart.
Mm.
Then again, we also share it with Crystal Gayle and Richard Nixon. So.
Well, what's wrong with Crystal Gayle? Come here, let me slap you around, boy.
Okay, I'll take drag queens of the 80s for $500, Alex.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Anyway.
Try and put my hand. It's time now for Hatch.
It's past time for Hatch.
That's why we killed Sylvester, so to speak.
Yes, so to speak. And, of course, we're going to let Hatch go over time.
And then we'll have Gigi afterwards.
Yeah. We don't want to cut anybody out. Anyway, who have we got this week? I see Brendan.
Yeah.
We always have Brendan.
Yeah, he has to be here.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're Hatch. I'm going to give you ways to reach us, and then we're going to go around and say who we are. You can call us at 713-529-3590 or go to www.hatchyouth.org.
Hatch is basically a youth group for GLBTQQIA teens, ages 13 to 20.
And once you turn 21, you're not allowed to come anymore.
You're kicked out.
Yeah, we kick you out, sorry.
No.
What are you going to do?
This week on the Hatch segment, we have... I'm Travis.
I'm Pamela.
Amber.
Madison.
Corey.
And Nick.
And this week on the Hatch... Or this month, we're going to be talking about the definitions of the acronym GLBTQQIA and any other letter that follows that we're missing. And we're going to talk about why it's important and why some of us might not agree that it's important. So, who would like to start?
Well, let's start with definitions. What does all this mean?
Oh, Travis, you can't talk, sorry.
Whoa!
Because you're looking at me.
Hold on, I got the whole thing. I think that's impressive. That's coming a long way for me.
Okay.
G is gay. L is lesbian, B is bisexual, T is transgender, the first Q is questioning, the second Q, the first Q is queer, the second Q is questioning, the I is intersexed, and the A is ally, which means straight people who are our friends.
So what does lesbian mean? Or are you just going to not
okay.
answer that?
Well, I mean, okay, fine.
Or
gay means,
defining it. I mean,
gay means a man who likes men, lesbian means a woman who likes women, bisexual means a person of any gender who likes the other two genders, transgendered.
The other two genders? You mean their gender and the
their
other?
Their gender and the other gender. Okay. The other like, if you really want... Anyway.
Told you you can't do this.
Yes, I can. GLB. Transgendered is someone who is born the sex of... with the sex organs of one gender, but with, theoretically, the mind of another, sort of the mannerisms and ideals of the other, and prefer to live life as the gender of which the sex organs they were not born.
Okay, the quick answer, mind doesn't match the plumbing.
Thank you. Right, okay. Well, I'm trying to define these.
Okay, well, keep going.
I was trying to help you define it in something less than 1,000 words.
Okay.
The politician in you was coming out, you know, just on and on and on.
A little bit.
And let's... Who just said it was bugging them because they couldn't hear themselves talk?
Click.
The first cue is queer, right?
Right, right.
Which... means, really can mean any of those things, really. It's just a matter of what you prefer to be known as. Questioning means someone who is sort of undecided. They're an independent.
Nice. Yeah. Or they're just not sure.
They're not sure. They're questioning. Intersexed is, I believe, a person born with both sex organs or... That's not an appropriate term, Amber. Or someone born with characteristics of both genders right. put together, maybe not the sex organs.
It's the politically correct version of what used to be called a hermaphrodite.
Right, which is the word I just... Okay.
That's the old term, and the politically correct term is intersexed.
Yeah.
And allies. We've already defined.
Well, it was the first one I defined.
Alrighty, so I guess we could start talking about it. I don't know. Yes, it's an Ellen Cohen business.
Just keep going. I was just looking.
What do you guys think about the fact that we actually separate and define each category of people? Do y'all think it's necessary, or do you think it's just bogus and that it's just being politically correct, which is taken way overboard sometimes? What do you think?
Yeah.
That's a question.
I think it's unnecessary.
Yeah, it's very unnecessary.
Well, I don't technically know. This is Madison. If you want to know, I don't technically agree that we do need to be split up and partially. I mean, we have our gay needs to apply to everybody, but we need to have our little sub levels because not all of us technically identify as the gay males. Like, I'm transgendered and I don't technically have a sexual preference at all.
Right.
So, I mean, I do have to have a separate little category than saying I completely identify with the gay or lesbian part of the thing. But overall, I think we all are one big group that's gay. I mean, not like...
But then what does gay really mean? Because then we should, I guess, identify as queer and not gay.
Well, I like just thinking of the old term as gay meant we're happy, and most of the time we're all happy as being ourselves. I mean, if you're happy with who you are, then we're all part of one group. We're all human no matter what. But even humanity's this... divided into classes, like there's the African Americans, Caucasians, stuff. So, no matter that we're still one group, we're still divided into subgroups.
Okay.
Well, you know, when did gay? I think in the past, gay used to be a blanket term for gay, lesbian, bisexual, whatever. When did gay specifically become just men and not the whole?
Like after the feminist
before
movement?
We were born.
Before we were born. Yeah,
you're right.
During the Stone Age.
Thanks.
No, I think after the feminist movement.
That might be right. That might be true.
Because I think that during that time is when...
when people realized lesbians were doing all the work.
Y'all do.
Actually,
I would say the lesbian community is much more active than the gay male community. I mean...
I don't think that's necessarily true.
I mean, if you want to get technical...
Then, I mean, I don't know. Okay, fine, whatever.
You don't know. Just admit it.
Well, I think you're right. Historically, back then...
Historically,
it
right. And part of that was because of the AIDS epidemic.
They got the, men...
Right. No, I mean, it got women... Women had to... The lesbians had to do it because so many of the gay men were dying.
See, I think that's where you're wrong. I think gay men actually started being more vocal and...
after the AIDS epidemic.
Up in front because of the AIDS epidemic.
Well, yes.
And I think the feminist movement is why lesbians perhaps were the ones that were seen as a driving force earlier on.
Because before that, it wasn't even gay or lesbian. It was just... the drag queens who were out doing everything. I mean, they were the ones who, if you look at the old rallies, like if I have a book on the gay history, if you look at rallies and pictures and things of homosexuality in life in the past, you see drag queens and you see some like really butch lesbians and you see a couple of really flaming gay men, but you don't see that often. You mostly just see the huge drag queens, which awesome.
They're more photogenic.
Of course they are.
Darn straight.
You can sit down, it's okay.
Yeah, a linebacker and a dress.
Nice. Anyway, okay, so what do you guys think about the initials?
I think there's too many of them. Like, I think GLBT and friends would be better than GLBT yada, yada, yada.
Hey, I'm not friends with some people, so how do you know? No, but, okay, just because that's the title of your group that you have on campus does not mean...
it's not anymore.
Anything. Well, okay, well, it used to be. Well, because, and part of the reason that we brought this up is... like, I have a mentor who I talk to all the time, and on my email address, on my signature, it says GLBTQIA activist. And she wrote me and was like, oh, what does the A stand for? And this is a person who's been in the gay community, working for the gay community for like 23 years.
Right, and you just said the gay community.
I know, but I mean,
I'm just pointing that out, like, I'm just saying.
And... It just was odd to me that she asked that. I'm like, what? You've been working in this community for the longest time, longer than me, so certainly you would have known that, but she didn't. Or at least she wasn't sure what I meant by that or something. But it was funny because I also work with the newspaper at U of H, and we, in the new AP style book, there's like 100 new words that are updated in the AP style book for the gay, for the GLBTQIA community, so that they are, so that it's more politically correct. I mean, what do you guys think about that? That in your news, you're not going to only hear the gay community, you're going to have to hear, and by going to have to, I mean, because you will. In most places, they're supposed to, if they go by the AP style book, include all of those initials. What do you, I mean, do y'all want to read that all the time, or what do you think about it?
I just think GLBT, first of all, sounds like a sandwich. And then you add all this other stuff.
BLT?
Right, basically.
Yeah.
But then you add all this other stuff, and it really is, like, I know a lot of older people who have been very active who just think it's unnecessary.
Right.
Like, and I really, I agree. It's, yes, we are gay men, and we are lesbians, and we are transgendered people, and we are bisexual people, and queer and questioning and allies, but why can't we all just be the gay community? I mean, it's like there are, you know, within the African American community, there are people from Ethiopia, there are people from Ghana, there are people, but all of them are African American. You know, it's not like they have to be the Ghanaian, Ethiopian, Rwandan, American community. You know, it's, I don't understand why we have to be the ones to include all of it in our title.
I don't know. I guess it's just a bunch of people who want to be politically correct. But I also think that it's because the gay community is fighting for a lot of its rights right now, or, you know, has been for a while. But it's definitely come up in news a lot within the past 5 years.
Right.
And because of that, because of those opportunities, we have, like, the gay community will feel like, of course, we have to make it known where everyone's included, where everyone has their say, because without it, we're fighting for rights, but not everyone's rights. And some people feel like that. And maybe you don't feel like that, and maybe half of us here don't feel like that, and maybe all of us, but one of us feel like that here. But someone might feel like that, and so we have to include them.
Well, here's a point to think about. In the GLBTQQIA, whatever it all is, I'm not sure I keep up with it. In most of these cases, it's the gay or homosexual component of how that fits into all these other letters, mm-hmm. that makes that group disenfranchised, or puts them in a minority, or makes it to where, for whatever reason, they have to fight for their rights or whatever. It's that homosexual gay component that.
Well, I think one of the biggest problems I see, and of course it all has to come back to this for me, you know, for a long time, certain members of our community have been trying to pass the Employee Non-Discrimination Act in Congress, okay? And just when we finally are able to get enough votes to get it passed to include gay and lesbian people, we have to add transgender, and that's something our own community is saying, and Congress is ready to work, Congress is ready to go, but all of a sudden we're saying, nope, we don't want it anymore if we can't get this. And, I mean, Madison, it's all your fault, but no, I mean, it's like we have to add more people, and every time that makes it that much more difficult. And granted, I don't want to leave people behind, but at the same time, I just wish we could
get a foot in the door first,
then reach down and pull someone else up.
Right.
But one thing you'd also talk about is, you know, you go through that alphabet soup, but then you also have different ways of putting it in order.
Okay.
You know, I was doing a press release once I was reading, and it confused the hell out of me, because I was talking about the LGBT Conference of the Futures being held at the GLBT Community Center.
Up north, like in the Northeast and stuff, it's always LGBT.
Yeah, that's
like with things like
ladies first.
I don't know, like my email address is set up that way.
Yeah,
like LGBT.
Right.
It's
that's because you're a lesbian.
No, that's because when I first, like, no, I mean, partly, but no, like, when I first heard about GLBT community, I always read on the internet LGBT. It was always that way. Now, granted, I really don't know why, but that was what I read, like, one of the first times I ever looked on the internet for anything gay.
I think GLBT is just easier to say than LGBT.
I agree.
I mean, like, And that sounds like just a silly thing to say, but it's... when you say it, it's easier on the...
And because G comes before L in the alphabet.
But B comes first. But
right. I mean,
but,
we're going to go that way.
But,
girl,
yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
B-G-L-T.
That's one of those... Yeah, we're not going to put it in alphabetical
and
order.
And we're not putting the bisexuals first.
All right, you know, let's not get started on my sexuality, Travis. Kidding. Let's not.
I'm kidding. But we're not. So, you two have said nothing. What are your opinions?
It's too much to say. The whole five letters, I don't like it.
Okay.
It should just be one word. Like we were talking.
So then do you think we should call ourselves the homosexual community?
No, because homosexual is a scientific term for same gender loving people. And okay. I use that term sparingly because that's a word that other people use that I can't stand. And we won't go into that one either. But
Well, the big controversy always has been the word queer.
Mm-hmm.
Because the older generation, you know, that was along the same lines as using the N-word,
right,
to them, you know, because queer, you know, the traditional pronounce it's queer, traditional definition of it is odd or different, and they, some of them don't like that, you know, but you know that's what we use on this show so that we don't have to go through, you know, as I refer to it as alphabet soup on that. So I mean, how well do you think the word queer, I mean,
well, you know, gay used to be the umbrella word for all these alphabets. So when did gay became men, gay men, and then so when did the queer then take the place of the old gay?
When they started, we're here, we're queer, get used to it, or whatever. We're here, we're queer, not going anywhere, or whatever.
We're here, we're queer, get over it.
Something like that.
Get used to it.
Rhymes.
Which I still like.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, that was definitely a key point in when it changed to being accepted as a national thing.
And I think the transgender movement did a lot of it, too. I mean, bringing in other people, other than homosexual people, into our group. I mean, which transgender people were here already.
Yeah.
It's just acknowledging them. You know, it wasn't that long ago that Houston's political group for the community
caucus,
right, was called the Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, and now it's the GLBT Political Caucus.
Yeah.
Which
actually originally it was called the Gay Political Caucus.
Right.
Way back when.
But in my lifetime,
because many older women didn't like the lesbian term and they considered themselves gay women, so that's why they kept it that way for a long time. Then they put in the lesbian as soon as a certain person got off the board of the Gay Political Caucus, and then they kind of added the B and the T, and let's face it, we give a lot of a talk to the B word, but we don't give a lot of support. We're doing better with the T word.
Because they'll kick our asses if we don't.
Dude.
Now they made the HRC stand up and go,
seriously?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy.
Yes.
Body of a man, mind of a woman. Uh-uh. Sorry. That's... No. Not pissing them off.
especially since anybody may have listened and heard the little beep in the background, I got to step in and let you know you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 down on the Galveston, and if you're listening on the web, it's kpft.org. It's the Hatch segment. We're talking about the alphabet soup of our community.
I always liked that one word thing that we should call each other, and at one time I thought, okay, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender.
Oh God, don't say lesbigator.
No. And then Gigi introduced me to the intersex word, and I said, okay, glipped. That's a good word.
No, because do you know what glib means?
I know.
Yeah, 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 I know.
I
glib
know.
Is not an okay thing to call us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
some of us maybe.
No, I mean, I ran into one of those things when I did a mission statement for Q Patrol. I took out gay and lesbian and changed it to, what was it, for actual or perceived sexual orientation or gender identity. You know, it's a lot longer, but, you know, you don't get into that, as I keep saying it, alphabet soup that's just kind of annoying sometimes with the stuff.
Okay.
So I'm not going to kill my mic unless you guys talk.
We still have one member who hasn't said anything, and I would like for them to, if they don't mind. Okay.
Guess
who minds.
You brought a mime!
Nice. Okay, well, we had another...
Do we want to talk about the intersection? Whether it should be there or not.
Yeah, that's
okay. You know that you're still on the mic, right?
I do too. I won't go first on this one, but
okay. So the issue that we have going on is that the word intersex, a lot of people feel that it doesn't belong in the GLBT community, and so I guess we can, since we've defined intersex, that maybe
can
we
have that definition one more time, please.
It's the new word for hermaphrodite. So okay. People born with both gender or both organs.
Okay,
so
gender or organs. Characteristics of both genders.
Right.
I think you can be intersex, then you make the decision which sex you want to be, and then that can make you either a gay or lesbian, depending on what sex you decide
unless
to be.
Unless someone chooses it for you at birth.
Yeah.
See, then there's a bigger issue is that, hey, did I choose the right gender?
Well, then you're transgendered.
Yeah.
If someone chooses your sex for you and it's the wrong one for you, then you would be, I guess, transgender.
Right.
But then I have to disagree with that for the fact that because their mindset and their body was right at the beginning. It was that person that changed it for them. If you're transgender, though, you didn't get nobody chose that for you. You were born that way with your mind and everything, and your body doesn't match at all.
I agree.
But if you're intersex, that was... You can't technically be defined as transgendered because... Well, you were born right to begin with. They just accidentally... They
well,
just
think
assigned
being born
you
with
something.
Both is, you know...
Well, technically, they're not born with both. They're just born with an enlarged or a micro other part. And so, they're technically, it's the same thing. They're just a little odd.
I'm learning new things. And here I thought I knew everything.
At least you can admit it. That's good.
I don't... You're right.
You don't know everything.
Well, thank you, Nicholas. I didn't really think I did. I'm just on a mission to know everything. I personally don't really think... I've never seen much of a participation from that segment of what is defined as our community... Which doesn't mean we shouldn't include them, but at the same time, and also I view it more as a medical, I don't want to say problem, but a medical issue.
But then transgender is a medical issue too, and it's also a psychological
right,
issue.
But you are also ostracized from society as something...
Hold on, Travis. Let me introduce you to someone here. Step in there.
Right, no,
I'd like to introduce you to an intersex.
I
wasn't sure if you knew or not. I just wanted to scare you. as you're continuously digging that hole, I just wanted someone to wave down and go,
I can help with this.
No demonstrations, just...
We have to think about the children.
Oh,
I'm choosing my words carefully. People still like I said carefully. People view transgender people, at least the ones I've spoken to about it, as really just something people choose. Not that, you know,
you choose to be that way.
Right. It's totally a choice in some people's opinions, which isn't true.
No.
I mean,
You can choose to acknowledge
being a lesbian
it or not.
Is a choice.
You can choose to acknowledge it, but it doesn't change the fact that it's there.
But, you know, I've totally lost track when they interrupted me. being intersex is a medical issue, whereas. I don't remember what I was going to say.
They're saying no, that it's not a medical issue.
Okay, well, whatever.
Well, no, I mean, but it is. It's definitely a medical thing. And when you say, okay, I'm gay or I'm lesbian or bisexual or transgender or whatever, it's more people think, oh, okay, well, that's something psychological either that you were born with or that you chose to do or believe or acknowledge or whatever. However, if you tell somebody that you're intersex, then they're probably going to be like, oh, okay, well, there's no damn thing you could do about it. You know, that's just the way that it is. And, you know, you can't exactly choose to make that go away. Now, like I said earlier, you can choose to, I don't believe you can choose to be gay or not, but you can choose to acknowledge if you're homosexual or not, or if you're transgender or not. You can choose to allow those feelings to decide who you're going to be. I can choose to ignore the fact that I'm gay and I can start dating guys if I wanted. I definitely could choose. I might not be happy and I might be really, really mean or really, you know, whatever. Not that I'm not now, but I mean, I could choose that. But a person who is intersex can't choose to have one gender or the other because they have both medically and they can get it removed or changed or whatever. That doesn't mean they can really choose to ignore it. Whereas, like I said, if you're in the other sections of the LGBTQA community, then you can. You can choose to ignore it or acknowledge it.
You know, I've seen a couple documentaries that dealt with this a little bit. And I know going back a few years or several decades, you know, kids who were born this way, the decisions were made earlier on,
mm-hmm.
and they grew up always thinking or that they were different or they were wrong. That basically the wrong decision was made at birth because they tended to veer one way or the other. That may not be true in all situations, but I know it. Some of those earlier decisions when they were kids and or in their babies turned out to be devastating choices for these people because they were made a girl when everything inside of them felt like they were more a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for intersex, I think one of the common things is that a person will be born outwardly a female, but they may actually have testes inside that may or may not be found. And so then that's one of the ways that intersex can happen. There's a couple of other ways, too. But one of the sad things was that these decisions were made without the person developing who they are and their psyche developing fully and knowing if they were going to have to choose, or if they even wanted to, which way they would go. And that's we're assuming, of course, that an intersex person would want to choose anyway. Perhaps they don't.
Mm. Yeah.
I also don't think allies should be there.
Well, I don't think questioning should be there.
I don't think so either.
No, because when I think of, like, the whole, when you talk about the community, you're talking about a group of people. To me, it's the group of people for whom we're trying to achieve equality.
Isn't the allies.
Right. And I get sometimes offended by people who want to throw in our supporters with us. Because, yeah, like, thanks, I appreciate it, but you still don't get it.
Yeah.
And I just don't think, I don't understand, I don't think it needs to be included with our community. I think it's people who are supportive of our community, but I could be supportive of affirmative action. That does not make me a part of a minority community. I'm still a white boy.
Yeah. Allies can marry. Allies aren't fired from their job because they're allies of the LGBTQIA, whatever community.
Well, I mean, you might be.
Well,
but normally,
but,
no.
Right, I know, yeah.
Legally, you can't be, is the thing.
Right.
So, I completely agree with you. I think allies shouldn't be in our alphabet soup.
So, are we in agreement that it should just be GLBT or just gay? I mean, what is it?
I think it should be, like, gay and with just the four basic ones, because transgender does kind of include intersex, not exactly official, big, but same as, like, gays include flamboyant and butch gay and feminine lesbians and butch lesbians and whatever else. That has its little thing. So, in a way, yeah, transgender can include intersex like it does cross-dressing and transvestitism, too. Technically, they're not exactly the same, but it does include them. So, those four letters pretty much covers, and bi don't even technically have to be in there, because that's kind of included with the...
Gay and lesbian. And
yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, why don't we start the, like,
GT.
The B-A-N-F, like, the butch androgynous Nelly effeminate. Well, I mean, honestly, like, if we're going to subculture ourselves so much...
Might as well subculture ourselves.
Let's go all the way. I don't want to be included with Nelly over there. Why do I have to? I mean, seriously. To me, that's what it is. It's like...
Drag queens. We have to include the drag queens.
Right. I mean, we may as well... Like, if we're going to do GLBTQQIA, we need to be DQCD, drag queens, cross-dressers. I mean... Why don't we include all disenfranchised people? We could be the GLBTMB, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, black, Mexican, Asian. I mean, just, to me, the thing is, where do you stop?
You know, you're right, because I think the more we keep dividing ourselves into categories, the more the weaker our group's going to be. And so we're not going to be able to fight and gain our rights.
I don't know how true that is.
Know.
Because I know people from almost every one of the little the letters. I mean, except questioning. And I don't know anyone who calls himself queer either. But and we all work well together, and we all work for the same purpose. And I think one of the things that we do well in our community is work for each other's rights. I mean, like, there are transgendered people working just as hard for gay rights as me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would eventually one day like to work just as hard for transgendered rights as for gay rights. You know, even though it really doesn't affect me one way or the other, except to live in a better world. I mean, ooh, that sounded really, like, hippie-ish.
Well, but also, and to think about it, with our biggest event in the, whatever, alphabet soup community that we have, is Gay Pride Parade. We call it Gay Pride Parade. That is what it's known as. We don't call it GLBT parade. We don't call it GLBTQIA parade. We don't call it any of those things. We call it Gay Pride Parade. And you know what? If they have a lesbian pride parade, I would love to go, but I don't think they do.
I mean,
officially, it's the Pride Parade.
See?
Ah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But
sidestep that.
Pride Houston.
But also, when you
the
think
gay
about
games.
It?
You know, I mean, are only gay people allowed, or are lesbians allowed as well, and transgendered people?
That's where gay women are allowed.
Yeah, that's where we're getting that whole umbrella term.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I just think the gay... I mean, we could call ourselves the family, and that works just as well, too.
Yeah, but then you get into the mob issue.
Well, right.
Hey, friends. No, we can be friends.
Haven't I ever told y'all I am the head of the gay mafia?
I thought Elton John was head of the gay mafia.
No, it's David Geffen.
Oh, you're right.
Wait. Who?
Thank you.
Shut up.
I'm while we're on that one.
You're talking to a young community, so you should actually probably describe it.
The show is 19 years old this week, right?
Yes.
Is anyone here above the age of 19?
Well, by like a couple of months.
Five months.
So one out of, so two out of six of us.
And your point?
Are older than the show.
I just... And even then, we don't remember the Stone Age.
This thing.
Okay, so
keep it up, Travis. And the only thing that's going to have another is going to be seeing 20. It will be the show.
Okay.
David Geffen is a self-made millionaire from his dealings starting in the record business. He
Geffen
got a
records.
Lot of big stars. Their first starts, and then he moved on to the movie industry.
He might even be a billionaire at this point.
Okay, I feel bad now.
You've heard of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, I'm a geek. Of course I've heard of Star Wars.
Pretty much.
I have whole scenes from that movie memorized.
He was
that was just broadcast on the radio. I forget. We're not just talking here in private.
Well, I think it's the whole gay component that makes and ties all of these people together anyway. Well, there's a possible exception of...
And see, one issue I have with this, especially about... especially at Hatch, is Hatch, yes, is an acronym. We all know it, but we don't talk about what it stands for. In right. fact, I don't know if I'm allowed to say what
no,
it stands
you
for.
You can. It's
what
a date.
It stood for.
What it stood for. And for anyone listening, we don't call it this anymore. It's just called Hatch now. But just so that you know, it used to stand for the Houston Area Teenage Coalition of Homosexuals. It doesn't stand for that anymore because the people who run Hatch think that it is not inclusive of everyone who goes to Hatch. Now think about it.
Well, and like I said earlier, the homosexual thing...
It doesn't.
When you do say homosexual, it really does... It pigeonholes it into this, whereas gay doesn't. So I think...
But, I mean, and we still haven't thought of a better name for Hatch, because it's just Hatch. Everyone knows it is Hatch. It's been there for almost as long as this radio show's been there, if not longer.
Longer?
No, I mean, like, as this station has been here.
Oh, no, not that long.
No, yeah. Not that long.
It's been pretty long, though, but... I'm saying it's definitely grown. The community's definitely expanded, but we're still the same people. So should we? I mean, do you guys think we should use alphabet soup? Or when you talk to your friends, do you say, "Hey, you know, me and a bunch of,"
I say, "Hey, I'm gay."
Yeah.
Honestly,
I kind of actually use that too.
I just
do any of the actually gay people here use the word gay? Because we just had a lesbian and a transgender. I'm just wondering. I mean, like, while we're talking, I mean, we just defined gay and lesbian and transgendered, and we just had the lesbian girl and the transgendered girl say, "I call myself gay. I do too." So it is. So some gay people.
You're straight.
Gay is so much easier to say than lesbian.
Any bisexual. We're underrepresented tonight.
A little bit.
But the whole point with the whole bisexual issue is it's the gay or the homosexual component of your sexuality that causes you to be a part of the club, so to speak. Of the, you can be fired from your job, you're discriminated because of this. It's not because of your heterosexual attraction or your opposite sex attraction that causes you difficulties in life. It's because of your homosexual attraction that causes you those problems.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. I don't normally call myself gay, though. I just say, "Hey, I like girls." What can you do?
To me, it's just easier to say gay than it is to say lesbian when you're trying to explain.
Unless you're talking
to
people who aren't afraid of lesbians but are afraid of gays.
My friends actually told me once that I wasn't gay.
I was just
homosexual.
You're not gay. You're a straight boy you're a straight boy who likes to kiss other boys.
I have a question about questions.
But I don't just like to kiss them.
Oh,
okay. All right, we're going to stop right there.
I have a question about questioning. Okay, if you're questioning so much to be gay, then for you to have actually questioning in this acronym that we have for GLBT, I don't even know if it's acronym or whatever this is standing for, doesn't that make you gay already if you put so much thought into it? So does it need to even be there?
And I just wonder how confused you can be.
And also,
I think it's called denial.
With my thing about me wanting to get married to a girl, does that make me questioning? Is that why questioning is there?
But it could be society.
That's a whole nother radio show. That's Dr. Laura, honey.
No, but seriously, is that why questioning is there for people who think the same thing?
No.
Or for people who want to get married? No.
It's to make it, I think it's so, it's a safe identification for you to be able to come into the GLBTQ community and kind of see what's going on without calling yourself gay or lesbian. So you can figure it out in a safe term.
Okay, I understand that, but then I'm coming back to the point where, again, if you're thinking so hard that you want to be gay, or are you thinking so much to where it has to actually be in there, then doesn't it make you already gay that much?
Well, no, it's not. It's not the questioning people saying it has to be there. It's us saying, well, okay, fine. So we don't scare people off. Because what if you don't know if you're gay or not, but you don't want to go to a gay meeting because you're not gay? You know?
Because you're not sure. Because you can...
I do see your point, though.
Because, yeah. Okay, like, you can say, okay, you're a guy and say... You know, you're growing up and you have a lot of really close guy friends and you're not really sure if that's okay. Like, hey, you know, is it cool to have really close guy friends, really close girlfriends? Or is it weird that I am like this? Do other people have these things? Because, like, I had a lot of really, really, really close girlfriends when I was younger. And I was always like, is this normal? Does everyone think like this? And I think that's more of what the questioning is. Like, is that gay? What is gay? Because you can come into the community and not know what gay is.
I think it should be confused rather than questioning. I mean, yeah. I don't know. It just, I guess I was confused for a long time. I thought I was bisexual.
Well, I mean, you are a straight man that likes to.
Oh, well, that was why. I thought I was bisexual. I thought I couldn't be gay.
I think there are youth that come to Hatch that are truly bisexual. And I think there are youth that come to Hatch that are allies. But if you see the progression over several years, you'll have a youth that comes in and says they're an ally. Then they'll say, well, you know what, I'm questioning. And then they become bisexual. And then by the end of their term with Hatch, they're either a full-blown gay or full-blown lesbian. Mm-hmm. However you want to do that. That is a safety that allows them to come in and go through those phases without any pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not to say that every bisexual or every questioning or every ally youth who comes to Hatch is going to go through that or is even anything other than what they say they were. But it is a way to let people transition without any pressure.
Yeah. So we had one other thing we wanted to talk about. Did you want to talk about it now or you want to wrap it up? I don't remember, that's what I was asking you.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I think it was intersex thing, which we already talked about.
Yeah.
Okay.
I learned to match colors. I just would like everyone to know that. I'm not totally straight.
Just because you bought a shirt that matched your little one thing for the Astros doesn't mean you learned how to match.
That's what it is.
But I specifically picked out the shirt because it matched the hat.
Where'd you get the shirt from?
I'm going to read this. Oh, don't just sell it. Don't
see if it's better. And the hat?
Target.
Okay.
Oh, okay. We're going to wrap it up pretty soon. But before that, there were some things I wanted to announce. Again, how to get in touch with Hatch. You can go to our website, www.hatchyouth.org. Or you can call 713-529-3590. If it's an emergency, call the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard at 713-529-3211. Also,
he spent a lot of time on the switchboard.
Exactly. Also, issues coming or things coming up at Hatch. We have a couple of we have a time management workshop on Saturday the 16th. You have to sign up, but there's still room. So if you want to sign up, you can attend one of our weekly meetings on Fridays or Sundays. Also, there's a couple other really cool things. On the 22nd, we're going to go bowling. So if you want to be a part of any of these things, just come to one of our meetings, sign up, and we'll invite you. We can say when we meet, just not where. But
awkward silence.
Exactly. Oh, okay. Anyway,
I hadn't been at the Hatch meeting, but I've done it on the show many times.
So I think that's pretty much it, that we're done for the night.
Yeah. Alrighty.
Good night.
Good night. And thank you, Hatch, for letting me bump you this week so I can do that live remote. Alright, we're going to bring up another oldie, but a goodie. A little bit of Sylvester and Take Me to Heaven. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Sylvester, Take Me to Heaven. And this is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, celebrating our 19th anniversary.
Yes, we are. And playing music from the era of the late 80s. That was Sylvester, our late great national treasure, doing Take Me to Heaven. I used to play that a lot before South Beach existed, because the club that was there before South Beach was called Heaven.
I wouldn't know anything about the Club Heaven.
Oh, you were there when it burned down.
That's my claim to fame. That's
you were the only one who got to speak to Charles Armstrong and interview him.
While his building was on fire.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I crossed.
It happened on the Saturday
roses.
Night, yes.
And yeah, that was a cute time. I walk in.
He had a gimme hat with a bumper sticker plastered on the front of it.
It was a Budweiser soccer hat.
Oh, God.
Now, I was over at JR's having a few, because no one showed up for patrol that night. And I came in, and Jimmy says hi, and I go, hi, Heaven's on fire. Would you like to have a reporter? And he's like, what? Yes. And I smacked a bumper sticker on my head. I wore my Q Patrol badge. It looked like a press badge. And went over
there.
And like I said, I interviewed Charles Armstrong.
They let him through. Let him through the
No one was stopping anybody. It was, you know, I interviewed Charles Armstrong, and two guys from the TV crews took pictures of it. And
wow.
And that, but you know, that was my, if I could ever find out when that happened, then I'll know about how long I've been on the show. I don't have a clue.
Isn't that how Dan Rather got his start?
Something like that.
Hurricane Carla.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But
1962.
I have to figure that out one of these days, how far back it was that I've been a part of the show, because it's at least...
I can't ever remember these things. Gigi and I were just talking. We can't remember. I have to go back to some of the old tapes to find out when he first started. I think it was 90. It was either 93 or 94.
I think Gigi was on one before I.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I...
Gigi and the transgender group started about the same time.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a doo-wop group from the 60s?
No.
Gigi and
the transgenders?
Sounds like something that came out of Detroit back then. I'm back from the time when Michelle Myers was here in town.
Yes.
Michelle and Roy started with the news segment.
Oh, yeah.
And I know when I first started doing with the show... It was the palm leaf logo we had at KPFT.
Oh, my.
Back when it was the square blocks at KPFT, and it had that...
The thing that's still on my business card.
Yeah.
Speaking of business cards, we need to get some new ones.
Yeah, I keep talking about it. I got to change the logo now that we're 1-4.
Mm.
My pink triangle is too big. Discuss.
Oh. Yeah.
Don't you hate it when your pink triangle is just too big?
Because it used to be midnight to 4.
Yes.
Now it's 1-4.
And yeah, I got to find a job that still uses that old software.
Yeah.
I need to find a job, period.
Yeah, I like that logo. I'd like to keep it.
But it's time now for Gigi.
Oh, yes. And
whatever she's doing this month.
Oh, I am doing all kinds of things.
I know. Gigi has a free-form space to do whatever Gigi wants to do.
And the beginning part will be a rebuttal against what she heard in Hatch.
No, I'm not going to slam anybody.
No. In fact, we were just talking that perhaps Gigi can be a guest speaker at Hatch and inform them of what... intersex people really are.
Oh, yes. I think that would be good.
I mean, a lot of things we have different definitions on how we look at it. I mean, when they were talking about transgendered, I remember the discussions Sarah had with transgendered and transsexual.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and how I flubbed the very first time I interviewed her.
You know, it's kind of sad because the one website in this country about intersex is really, it has a lot of intersex individuals very upset because they keep promoting that we should choose to be either male or female, that we can't be the gender we were born to be. And, you know, that's just such a disservice and such a myth. Like, I mean, well, the best way I can put it is, what if... when you were born, doctors performed surgery and changed your gender. and then said, oh, well, even though maybe a mistake was made, you can choose another gender that you're not born to be. Now, what kind of choice is that? It's like, no, I'm sorry, I don't want to choose a gender. I want to be the gender I was born to be.
Yeah, maybe there's a third gender out there.
And maybe there wasn't a mistake to begin with. I mean, we just, the first assumption is that something's wrong and we got to fix it. And hey, maybe something's not wrong. And maybe third gender can be a place in this world. It was definitely a place in the ancient world for us.
There's certain places in San Francisco that's like communities where they actually call it a third gender community, where they actually have people that are both sexes, and they just both mm-hmm. have both their organs or whatever, and they just live in this community.
Yeah. But anyway, while we're on this subject, I got some good news. I've written an essay on being intersex, and it is about to be published in a book called Transforming Feminisms, Transfeminist Voices Speak Out, edited by Krista Scott Dixon. I'm not sure when the book's going to be available, but I just got the announcement that they're doing a book launch in Canada.
All right.
I think it's October 18th.
All right.
So look for it coming out. Basically, in this article, I named the article Walking in the Shadows. I haven't seen the book yet, so I'm not sure if that got preserved or not.
Okay.
But basically, it brings up a lot of issues about the position of intersex in this society, or the eradication of intersex. And basically, our gender has been eradicated from existence. We're not allowed to exist. We've got to be either male or female, as I understand it nowadays.
Yes, I call it the black and white thing. It's like they can't, they either got to be this way or that way. It can't be in a gray area.
Yeah.
You better be the correct way.
Uh-huh. And, you know, it's just a whole can of worms when you start getting into intersex issues. You know, I've kind of brought this up on this show a couple of times. You know, if they allowed me to be the gender I was born to be, which bathroom would I use? Who could I legally marry?
Right.
It just, and that's just the beginning. What gender do I get put on my driver's license? And it goes on and on and on. But I do just talk a lot about that in this book. Some of the issues that come up, and also who can I date? And the moral implications. I think one of the things that I didn't address totally in the article, I mean, I hinted around at it, but is this whole concept that gender is what's between your legs.
Right.
And gender is so much more than that.
Yeah.
It's about your neurological system. It's about your hormonal system. It's about the body. The body produces different hormones. It's about chromosomes. It's about a whole, I mean, gender is such a complex thing.
Right.
And it's much more than just what's between your legs.
Like, I talk about this on the show and think about more as myself. You know, I could, you know, basically male. That's my physical form. Mm-hmm. My natural habit is quote unquote masculine. Though when I say that, I deliberately use the term masculine as opposed to, say, macho.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what I'm comfortable doing And the men I'm more comfortable being with, we are interested as a group in what's going on inside. You know, how can I relate to people?
Yeah.
You know, more of a sacred masculine as opposed to, you know, drinking beer and watching football and that kind of that stereotypical view.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, I think you touch on something that's kind of something that I've kind of been aware of all my life, and that is, you know, doctors performed some cosmetic surgery to make me look like a gender I'm not.
Right.
And then they send me in for psychological testing, and guess what pops up on the psych? Well, I'm not masculine enough.
Okay.
Well, hey, guess what? I wasn't born a male. Why should I be more masculine?
All right.
But psychological tests don't take into account the gender of intersex.
Okay.
They probably did a CAT scan on you, too. They probably would have found that your brain is slightly different, too.
Oh, well, they didn't do a CAT scan, but they did do EEGs, and they found that I have twice the wiring that between the hemispheres of my brain that most people have.
All right.
And so, you know, the list, and that's why I say neurologically I'm wired differently. They're still trying to figure out what medications I can take and can't take. They don't work the same on me.
Right.
Oh, yeah, because men and women's effects on medication effect on men and women is completely different from a man and a female. And even homosexuals, it affects them differently, too.
But being hermaphrodite, I don't fit in either any of those categories, really. And, well, even the whole sense of sexual orientation is defined on who you're attracted to, a member of the same sex or the member of the opposite sex. Well, guess what? For me, there isn't a same sex or an opposite sex. or if there is a same sex, it would be a rare situation for me to run into someone like me.
Right.
There's a whole wide host of different intersex conditions. And to run into someone that has the exact ones that I have would be a very rare phenomenon, if they even exist.
Right.
So, but, it, you know, like I say, when you start talking, bringing intersex into the equation, it really kind of blows things wide apart, because we live in a gender dualist world. You can either be male or female.
Right.
And when you make the assumption that there's only two genders, and then base everything on that assumption,
mm-hmm.
and someone comes along that isn't one of those two genders, then all of a sudden, where do I fit in? I don't.
I remember reading a magazine article years ago in Discover Magazine. I kind of wish I had kept the magazine because it had an article on the subject of the intersex or hermaphrodite.
Yeah.
Well, I remember bits and pieces of the article right now, but one of the things I do remember is talking about a tribe in New Guinea or someplace that has some, in their culture, has some very strict roles about what men and women do. I mean, mm-hmm. makes, you know, us, our culture is very liberal.
Yeah.
And the irony is there's a high occurrence of hermaphroditism within that group.
Yeah.
what happens to it.
And what a lot of people don't realize is there's a fairly high incidence of intersex in our culture.
Right.
It's just the modern medicine, quote, fixes the problem.
It's kind of like, so quote-unquote, been erased it.
Yeah, it's been eradicated. All of a sudden, you're either a male or a female.
Right.
I can't get my true gender put on my driver's license.
It's like you erase something, you write something down, you erase it, you don't exactly get it all off. It's barely there, but you write something on top of it.
And a few cosmetic surgeries doesn't make me a different gender.
I mean, you're the same person that you were when they changed it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think at one point they even had me on hormone therapy to try to make me more male.
All right.
But even still, my body isn't male.
You're right.
I remember growing up being in going through hell through PE because they wanted me to throw like a boy.
Okay.
But my bone structure isn't boy.
Right.
And to this day, my shoulder gets sore if I try to do an overhand.
Right.
I can't do that either.
Motion.
Yeah, I know
something. But I was forced to throw like a boy, and I think it did some injuries in my shoulder. My bone structure is a boy. Boys can throw like that.
Right.
But they don't force girls to throw like that. If they did, they'd have probably a lot of lawsuits.
Oh, yeah.
From injuries. We're not designed to throw that way.
So instead of having you do the underhand throw like they do girls, they hit you the overhand throw.
Yeah.
It's assumed, oh, you're just a boy.
Well, that's because of the illusion the doctors created when they did some cosmetic surgeries. So it opens a lot of a lot of problems when you take someone, change their gender, you don't even tell them about it, and send them out into the world to be a gender that they weren't born to be.
Right.
And believe me, I know you can't change a person's full true gender just with a little cosmetic surgery. And I know a lot of the transsexuals may argue the point with me. I think that's a whole different subject. I think that in the case of male to female or female to male, there may be that true gender is something that's a little deeper than just the body parts.
Right.
I think it's when they did started doing brain scans, CAT scans on transgenders, they actually find out that men that turn into women have that, their brains, a certain part of their brain is smaller when it's a woman, it's bigger when it's a male.
Corpus callosum.
Yes, thank you. And they actually find out in these transgendered people that they have that in their brains. So it's more like they feel like a woman and they are a woman, but they just got the wrong package.
Mm-hmm.
What situation with you is you're a woman and a guy at the same time. So you feeling that, but you're also feeling the guy side too. And so that's probably why they don't understand why when you say something about what you said a while ago, it's so conflicting because they always feel like a woman. They just feel like they got on the wrong package.
Mm-hmm.
You, it's like, I got mine erased it. I'm a woman, too.
Uh-huh. So anyway, when this book does come out, called Transforming Feminisms, Trans Feminist Voices Speak Out, edited by Krista Scott Dixon, pick up a copy and read Walking in the Shadows.
Right. You'll be a published author.
Oh, yes. I'm very excited about that.
Me too.
One of the things I wanted to do tonight, I did want to talk a little bit about the book, but the other thing I wanted to bring up was a bit of a movie. I don't usually do movie reviews, and actually I don't want to do an actual review of the movie, but there is a film that I've seen it many, many times, and over the years, and the other day I was watching it again, and some things kind of stood out for me in this film. It's not a gay or bi film per se. It's really a film about sexuality, I think.
Oh, yeah.
In a kind of, or maybe the absence of sexuality. The name of the movie is Pleasantville, and it's really an awesome film. I do highly recommend it. It's kind of a film about the 50s and a kind of Pleasantville is a made-up TV show from the 50s. And it's kind of like the 50s image with the father that goes to work each morning and the mother that's the super housewife and homemaker. And at one point they have, you know, the two kids are transported into this world from present day,
right,
into the past. And you know, the girl's almost horrified at the breakfast that they're serving her. You know, the waffles, pancakes. Right. Big stack of pancakes, okay. And bacon and eggs and sausage and a ham steak. And
the kind that sticks your ribs and clogs your arteries.
Yeah. But the beauty of this film, I think, is that once these two are transported into this world, they start introducing the concept of sexuality to this world. And as people start experiencing sex, they become full color instead of black and white.
Okay.
And I'm not going to...
We're not talking about people who are colorful. We're actually becoming colored.
From a black and white film.
Right.
So they do a lot of play on words and on concepts, but in fact, at one point in the film, there's a store that has a sign, "No coloreds allowed."
Oops.
At one point, one of the women in the film takes a bath and has an orgasm, and as she orgasms, the tree right out in the front yard bursts into flames. So sex definitely shakes up Pleasantville. In part of this world, they do have the classic 50s lover's lane, okay, where the lovers go and make out in the cars, and you know,
the
start of the film, basically they would go to lover's lane and the boy would give the girl his pen. And they might hold hands. And so the girl that gets transformed into Pleasantville from the future, she takes a boy out to lover's lane and has sex with him, and all kinds of interesting things happen. But I like the film in the sense that all of a sudden things happen. And they do have a few references to homosexuality. Okay. One of them, there's an artist in the film that towards the end he does this huge mural on a brick wall. And in the mural, they show the book Catcher in the Rye on flames. At one point they did a big burning in the town.
Okay.
The other thing I like about this film is that it really touches on some even religious icons.
Yeah.
And most people that would watch this film probably would get the wrong idea about some of the religious symbolism, because the one of the people that, you know, kind of behind this the film was basically Gnostic.
Okay.
And so they have a Gnostic interpretation, and they kind of do at one point, they do kind of the symbolism of Adam and Eve, and Eve giving Adam the apple. And there's a direct scene of that where a girl gives a boy an apple to eat.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people would think, oh, this is the Adam and Eve from the Bible story.
Right.
Well, basically, actually, it's more the symbolism is based more on the Gnostic interpretation, and the apple isn't an evil introducing evil to humankind. The symbolism is more that is to correct an error. And the apple was given, it wasn't actually an apple, it was a fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
But basically the tree of knowledge.
Yeah.
And it was given to mankind so that they would know the difference.
Right.
And maybe be able to understand the kind of mistake that was made from before the beginning.
Yeah, right.
So it's a whole different interpretation. And in this film, it kind of goes, it's all interwoven into the plot, but basically the eating of the apple wasn't a negative, it was a positive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And giving a person knowledge versus giving them something that was, would stain them or be the first evil, so to speak.
Like, okay, you two. Come on. You know what you need now. Get out here. Do what you're supposed to be doing.
And unlike the biblical story, they aren't thrown out of the garden for eating it.
Right.
And the apple wasn't given to the woman in the film by a serpent. She went and picked it herself.
Right.
So it was a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. I mean, just all kinds of little twists and turns throughout this movie. I think the other thing that I liked so much about it is the whole concept of art is kind of explored, especially erotic art. Mm-hmm. And the meanings it has for us, and the place it has, and one of the things I kind of, you know, they don't touch on it directly, but I remember even, because when I was young, some of the effects from the 50s with the McCarthy era, and this fear of communism, big scare tactics, and I see so many parallels in today's world.
Yeah.
We just changed the name of the fear to terrorism.
Right. Another boogeyman.
Yeah, and so I think it has some really interesting kind of political points in the film, even though they don't necessarily touch on them directly. There's this whole sense of, you know, we must conform, we must, you know, the people that are still in black and white have a town hall meeting and they want to make things pleasant again. They want to get rid of this new influence. And so they ban certain books. Well, they ban all books. They close the library. Oh, they have a book burning.
Right.
And they have a ban on... nobody's allowed to go to Lover's Lane anymore.
Mm-mm.
There's kind of a ban on sexuality and sexual expression. And so the... this kind of narrow focus and wanting to, and at one point they even have a trial, and I thought it was really pointed that, you know, at one point the defendant says, well, don't I get a lawyer? And he's, no, we don't want a lawyer. We want to keep these proceedings pleasant. So if you haven't seen the film Pleasantville, do you get it?
Hey, step in and let everyone know you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 down on Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. This is our anniversary show.
Mm-hmm.
We're turning 19. A couple of years, we'll start drinking on the show.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Are you old enough to vote?
Yeah. And,
Well, why don't we get to a bit of music for a minute, since we're taking a break here.
Yeah. We had to stop it for the break. And because it is our anniversary, we are playing some of the music from the original times of when After Hours first started up. And so we're going to stick you with a little bit of Romanofsky and Phillips here.
Ooh.
For some reason, you know, I don't know, this song title just seemed to work for me for this segment. Romanofsky and Phillips, and the song is My Mother's Clothes. This is After Hours.
I remember dressing up in my mother's clothes. She had hordes of high-heeled shoes and plenty of pairs of pantyhose. She had wigs to make me look a thousand different ways, and blouses made of silk and lace and evening gowns for days. My mother's clothes,
my mother's clothes,
all my dreams came true in my mother's clothes. I remember dressing up in my mother's clothes. In the woods behind my house, we have our fashion shows. Secretly we gather all the old things we dispatch, and soon we'd have a wardrobe with accessories to match. My mother's
clothes,
my mother's
clothes,
all my dreams came through in my mother's clothes. We could be a princess from a fairy tale, oh, Florence Nightingale, mother's clothes.
I don't know how to love him. We could be Petula Clark
downtown,
or even Joan of Arc,
burning at the stake in our mother's clothes. Until we learned it's not okay for a boy to dress that way. Not allowed to fantasize. We become to all our waking dreams and the endless possibilities of roles that we can play. Now some of us still dress up in our mother's clothes, and some of us just like to watch, and some look down their nose. But we've all got an image that convey, and drag is something each of us does every single day. Things like sports cars, guns, and knives.
They seem to think of them as masculine extensions of their size. Perhaps it makes them feel secure or smart or even tall. But that kind of macho reasoning can only screw us all. Come on, boys, don't use your penis.
Phillips.
Yes, and that is the first really openly gay group I ever heard, and I heard it on a show called Wildenstein.
Which took me 10 years to figure out what the hell Wildenstein meant.
After
I figured it out, I felt like an idiot.
Yes, and that Wildenstein was the precursor to Queer Voices. And Jack worked on both shows. But I heard a Romanowski and Phillips song on Wildenstein one time. It was called The Prince Charming Tango. And so I was determined to find out. And, you know, this was, you know, talked about openly gay people loving each other. And, and I thought, wow, I've got to find some of this music. And I went to the gay bookstore in town, that which was owned by Charles Botts.
Okay.
And bought my first album there. Okay. It was on their first album. Charles Botts, by the way, was the premier Houston historian. He collected all kinds of books and papers and pamphlets and newsletters from the 50s and the 60s. And when he died, he donated them all to the library at RMCC, where it is today.
And my part with the Romanowski and Phillips is when I was one of those that, I can't say I was hatch age at the time, when I found out about this show.
Mm-hmm.
And was listening to it. At that time, we didn't, you know, the hosts were kind of unpredictable and didn't show up.
Imagine that. Gee, we never have that problem anymore.
But that was before we had the cast of characters that we could, that was pull out of the lobby and throw together a show.
Yes.
And Jimmy would always, you know, fall back on the queer music zone and playing a lot of music, and that's that's how I, when I first was starting to hang around, Jimmy wanted someone to hang, you know, hang in the studio with him, always playing music. And Romanowski and Phillips, he would play a concert, you know, an hour's worth of Romanowski and Phillips music, and it was my first gay music that I purchased, and somewhere in my stuff, I'll find the cassette that I bought of the first Romanowski and Phillips that I had got there. Cassette.
Imagine that.
It's like when Clarity was here and I started up our segment. I said, this is called a cassette. Have you ever heard of one? She goes, no.
Great. You know,
that song you just claimed, it reminds me of a blues song sometimes here on KPFT on Sunday morning. I forget the exact name of the song, but the line is, I'm so easily led when the little head does the thinking.
Oh, yeah. I know that song.
I remember early in After Hours, after I'd come on, Jimmy gave me a call one night, or I'd come to the show one night, and he said, how would you like to do two shows a month? And for, I guess it was about 8 months, I was doing it two weekends a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was primarily because the person that did the other show kept not showing up.
Yes, exactly. I know. We had that problem. Well, we always have that problem, actually. Because After Hours is a show that's in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And although we have a wonderful listening audience, it's hard to get guests because we're on Saturday nights, except for that one year.
Our year in exile.
And, you know, a lot of people like to go to church or do Sunday morning things. And so
brunch.
We have that problem. And or they want to be out late at the clubs, and they're not fit to be on the radio.
It's like, maybe we better not let them be on the air.
Yeah.
We don't want to get in trouble.
Exactly.
Well, we've been talking on the segment a little bit about a movie called Pleasantville, and also about my a new book that's coming out, that I'm one of the 21 authors that put in essays for this book, and it's called Transforming Feminisms, Trans Feminist Voices Speak Out. Edited by Krista Scott Dixon. It's being put out by the Sumac Press up in Canada. So I'm really excited. And in a big way, I think one of the things that really kind of gets me excited about this essay coming out is that it does kind of break some of the myths and the stereotypes about intersex.
All right.
And about the issues surrounding intersex, or hermaphrodites.
Right.
And I've always liked the term hermaphrodite. I know it's not the most politically correct term to use, but...
Well, I reminded of something I read somewhere, a specific book was called Gods and Every Man. It was Jane Boleyn, Jungian psychologist, talking about using the images of the Greek gods and goddesses as images for archetypal energy. I was still relating to the Hermes archetype. Part in there talked to kind of explain my sexuality to myself. Oh, somebody finally got what figured out what I'm trying to say. I think in Greek mythology, Hermes and Aphrodite had a child named Hermaphroditus.
Yeah,
who was the bisexual goddess. So, so we bias do have a patron god, I guess.
Well, actually, that you mention it, if you look back to even pre-Greek culture, many of the early creation myths, creation occurred by a single entity that was a hermaphrodite god or goddess. And the hermaphrodite god or goddess... impregnated herself,
right,
and gave birth to the universe and the world.
Yeah.
And so that's a very common theme throughout a lot of different cultures, that the way the world, the whole, everything that is, got its start was from a hermaphrodite having sex with themselves.
Right.
So it's kind of a...
kind of interesting image when I think about it.
It'd be kind of hard to do, but anyway.
Well, not really.
Unless you're some type of contortionist.
Well, it depends how... I mean, if you have both a vulva and a penis...
Oh, okay. They're right next to each other, so it doesn't know how too far to travel.
Yeah, and you, as long as you get it in before it gets too hard.
So, pardon the pun, you could go bleep yourself. Literally. Anyway.
But one of the things that I do bring up in the article is this ability to be able to have, even though I don't have both anymore, I am still able to have both male and female orgasms, right. And they're very different and very, well, actually I have like three types. I have kind of a clitoral type orgasm, a vaginal type orgasm, and then a more common for males, an ejaculatory orgasm. So
I find that interesting because females have more, just not this clitoral, but they also have the G-spot, and
yeah.
I heard there are other things too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's kind of interesting that you probably have all of those, including the male orgasm.
Yeah.
Well, I can imagine that it never gets boring.
And studying tantric techniques and some other ancient techniques and some modern ones too, women can learn how to have an ejaculatory orgasm.
Uh-huh,
and men can learn how to have multiple full body orgasms. So it's the genders are not as separate as
right.
Just reading up on
we're led
the
to believe sometimes.
On the magazine on our backs. They had an article in there about female ejaculations where actually they actually squirt out something. I was like, oh my God, I didn't know you could do that.
And it was Carol Queen who did some autopsies on female cadavers who discovered that women do, it's, well, she did several studies on this. First, she proved that the fluid that comes out of a woman when she ejaculates is not pee. It's right. Not urine.
Right.
That a woman has what's maybe the same, or probably is the same tissue originally as the prostate gland right. Is in males.
You mean same byproduct?
Well,
like that?
Well, when an infant is first conceived, we all have identical building blocks for gender.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the penis becomes a penis in males or a vagina in females. Yeah. The head of the penis or the clitoris
right. Is
the same tissue. Everything that's makes up a boy is also the same building blocks that makes up a girl.
Right.
I find it interesting that I had a girlfriend way back that when she got aroused, her clitoris used to actually get two or three times bigger than it usually is.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, clitoris is bigger.
Uh-huh.
She said she noticed that she'd get aroused and she's not having her legs spread open or anything. She can actually feel it, like, getting bigger. It's like, oh, I didn't know that happens. That's interesting.
Yeah, for some women. Unfortunately, in this country, when an infant's first born, doctors actually measure how long a woman's clitoris is. If it's too long, a lot of times they'll amputate it now.
Ouch.
And if a boy is born with too small a penis, a lot of times they'll do surgery and turn the boy into a girl. It's really kind of, a lot of people don't realize this goes on even today.
Mm-hmm. That's why sometimes it's just best to have a midwife. Because most midwives these days won't even could think about doing something like that.
Well, they wouldn't be able to do surgeries.
Right. I mean, there's doctors playing God.
But, you know, it's, and I think part of the fear is that, well, because some women, and before modern medicine, had clitorises that were large enough that they would become erect and stick out a little bit.
Yeah. Fortunately, my girlfriend didn't experience that when she was born. I don't know how her parents had her. I don't know if they had a midwife with her, but her clitoris was actually big enough where they probably would have amputated it.
Yeah. So it's kind of a, you know, this isn't just an intersex issue. It's an issue for everybody.
All right.
That these non-consensual surgeries should be stopped.
Should be against the law.
There's been, you know, debate for years about male circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's my personal experience, I am circumcised, and, you know, I seem to be okay. So I kind of have sense, you know, if me and Robin continue a relationship, we eventually have kids, and as a boy, I'm kind of probably say, let's leave it there.
Yeah.
I find out from Gigi, actually, that it's best to leave the skin on there because it keeps it moist and it actually makes it more intense. You can actually wear more than one condom, and you can still get the same intensity if it wasn't was you. Have it out in the open all the time, and as it dries up more, and it doesn't, intensity kind of goes down.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. I learned that from you.
And I'll have to do another show on foreskin restoration, because there's a lot of men out there that I think it could benefit. In the past, we have done a complete show on the history of circumcision.
I remember when you did that show.
And foreskin restoration.
I didn't even know you can do that. I was like, whoa, when I heard that. I can't remember. It was like about maybe 5 years ago when you did that.
Oh, it was longer ago than that.
I think it was five years.
Oh, no, it's been much longer than 5 years.
Because, yeah, I remember you did a whole segment on it, and I was like, I didn't know you could do that. That's interesting.
Or maybe I did it early on in after hours, but I may have done it a second time.
Well, I know a friend of mine that was kind of curious on that sort of a subject.
Oh, okay.
Of foreskin restoration.
Yeah.
And it was like, I told him, I said, it's, you know, it's not exactly what you had before.
Oh, no, you can't totally replace it, but you can replace the damage that was done.
Yeah.
And I can't understand why it started anyway. I thought, well, it's got to be there for a reason.
Well, one of the things that happens when they perform circumcision on infants is that they have, for an infant male, the foreskin is still attached to the gland of the penis. And so what they have to do is take a sharp instrument and separate the foreskin from the head. And it leaves scar tissue on the gland of the penis. And that you're kind of stuck with for life.
I had a friend of mine that had that problem, and he never had the surgery, and he was a grown man. And I noticed that his skin wouldn't roll down. You know how when you get erect, it actually come down where it's completely out. And his skin was, like, attached way at the head, tip of the head.
Yeah.
So it was hard for him to get around because it was some spots on his penis wouldn't.
And that can be fixed without having to do
Oh, he wouldn't get it fixed. He was scared.
Well, I would be, too.
Yeah,
if you can find a doctor you can trust.
Oh, yeah. I can understand that.
Because most would just want to do a circumcision. They wouldn't want to fix the problem.
Yeah, because he wanted to keep the skin.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, I don't blame him. I'd be scared to death, too.
Yeah. But anyway, you're listening to After Hours, and this is the new segment. We still haven't come up for a name for this segment, but it's kind of human sexuality. I kind of like this whole concept of, and maybe even pansexuality, kind of from the god Pan. But anyway, I think one of the things that I want to do with this segment is explore things like circumcision and foreskin restoration and a whole wide range of topics. Because I've always kind of done that on my segment anyway, even though it was a bisexual show.
Right.
We often did many different topics that weren't even related to bisexuality. Although we did do a lot of topics on bisexuality.
Right.
So a big part of what I like to do is bring things that are kind of not your mainstream information about human
right.
sexuality. And learning new things about our bodies and what we can do and what we, you know, what's safe to do and to enjoy a whole new frontier
right.
in our existence.
Yeah. You know, what I enjoy, you know, hearing you talking, the reason I keep showing up is, you know, having questions about who I am, what I'm capable of. I have a sense of who I am, basically. But I also get a sense, since there's still some social messages I bought into, and so it's like I'm having to pull these out and relook and say, does this still have value to me?
Yeah.
And not that I, for example, I'm not transgender or transsexual or whatever. I'm not real clear about, you know, trans what? I've heard three or four different phrases. You know, I'm male. That works for me. I consider myself bisexual. My nature tends to favor the straight side, but there's a sense of, hey, there's something there by, yeah, I go be sexual man too and enjoy that. And that's part of the idea is sorting out, okay, what do I want, you know, at heart level, as opposed to, say, the social message, or even part of what my biology is saying, because there's,
mm-hmm.
you know, sort of that sense of, you know, there's something here I want, but there's another part I kind of keeps wanting to hesitate. I'm trying to figure out, you know, who's talking, what they're saying, and all that. But leading up to it, just, you know, I hear about, you know, the transsexual people, and, you know, that's not who I am. But I still find myself curious about it. Like, you know, who are you? What is this? You know, again, because it's kind of playing games or, you know, rethinking with respect to the whole notion of gender, the messages I got growing up.
But, you know, I think one of the things I've always fought against in my life is being placed in this box.
Right.
And you have to stay thinking in the box about gender and human sexuality. And it's like, I've gone way outside the box when it comes to
right.
exploring some of these things. But anyway, I think it's probably time to go to some music, and then we're going to come back with the round table.
Okay. I'm going to go a little bit of a protesty song.
Oh, that sounds good. We like to protest.
It's Your Girlfriend, and the title track from the CD is We Won't Be Silent. And we're going to do that, and we're going to talk then, to give you a little teaser to keep you coming. The roundtable topic, the big one for today.
Ooh, we like teasers.
The headline is, Protect the Giant Pink Worm.
Ooh, baby. I'll protect it.
Okay.
I'll give the ultimate tease, and this will get people glued. This will get them glued to their set, to their radios, and get the FCC on the speed dial, because we're going to be talking about something.
Well, bring that big giant worm over here, baby, and we can take good care.
Because there's one part of the article we're going to be talking about. One guy declared, what kid wouldn't want to play with a 3-foot-long, lily-smelling, soft pink worm that spits?
I like that.
I got your big worm right over here, buddy.
Time for Your Girlfriend, and then we'll be back.
Considered a crime to bash our heads to make us drown in this sea. polite as everybody gets so excited thinking that they haven't got a single thing to wear. And why do certain people have a nervous attack because they couldn't do a thing with their hair? Or call in a psychiatrist and write to Dr. Ruth because they think they saw their nephew in a dress. It's the realization, conscious or not, of a phenomenon that you can guess. You see, you are what you wear, and you wear what you are. Your yesterday's news or tomorrow's media star. We're all born stark naked. To dress is bizarre. And that's the reason why everybody's in drag. Why give the gays all the credit? Straights lead the way, more or less. For instance, crew cut Marines can look gorgeous. While on the other hand, I think the Pope is a mess. You may find my taste appalling, but in certain circles, girls, this is dress for success. You are what you wear, and you wear what you are. Put on a mustache, grow a cigar, pad both your shoulders, and maybe your bra. And that's the reason why everybody's in drag. Be misled by the trappings, flounces and frills, wigs and falls. You know that some years ago at the Stonewall, it was the ball gowns that really held the balls. Now, I'm not an expert on fashion, but I try to be properly dressed when duty calls. You are what you wear, and you wear what you are. Paint on a beauty mark, sketch in a scar. The closet is open, the door stands ajar. And that's the reason why everybody's in drag. Now my friend Louis made himself a dress of navy blue, rhinestones at the bodice and a matching satin shoe. He said, "Do I look silly?" I said, "Please, Louise, it's you." And that's the reason why everybody's in drag.
Lynn Lavner. We played the hell out of Lynn Lavner in the early days of this show. That's just one from three different albums that she put out. And before that...
Oh, you're asking me?
Your girlfriend.
Your girlfriend. We won't be silent.
We won't be silent. That was Buddy Johnston, who was the originator of the show. That was his very best favorite protest song. And actually, I introduced queer music to this show because Buddy just played dance music in the very beginning, and then he realized that gay music really had something to say, and so he started playing a lot more of it. He played Roman Luskin Phillips, he played Lynn Lavner, he played Your Girlfriend, he played Michael Callen, which, if we have time, we'll close the show with that one, Living in Wartime, which was his favorite. Anyway, this is now time for the round table. We've got everybody in here, I hope.
Oh, yes. And we're talking about pink worm things.
And, of course, Alex walks in and says, "I'm ready to talk about
pink worm things."
It's 3 feet long, pinkish in color, smells like a lily, and must be saved from extinction. Conservationists say Thursday they're asking the federal government to protect the giant Palouse earthworm under the Endangered Species Act. Long thought extinct, the worm was rediscovered in the past year to occupy tiny swatches of the heavily famed Palouse region along the Washington-Idaho border. This worm is the stuff that of legends and fairy tales are made of. Worm supporter, Steve Paulson declared.
I'm certainly a worm supporter.
I do more than support them, baby.
This is the line that sold me on it.
Yes.
What kid wouldn't want to play with a 3 foot long, lily smelling, soft pink worm that spits?
Oh, I'm there. I am there, Daddy.
Is it edible?
Now,
and you don't even have to be 3 foot long either.
Now, one person I sent this to did remark back, you know, they never say what he spits.
I've got a worm that spits.
Yeah, but it's also more endangered of being seen than this one is.
Well, as of last weekend, it's probably to be seen by quite a few more people.
Yes, his worm is now... a picture of it is,
danger alert,
is now on the wall of a gay bar in New Orleans.
Danger alert.
Gigi's over here.
Well, she's trying to find
her worm.
Where's Waldo kind of thing going on here?
Oh. Well, like this worm has a ring in it or something.
Nude radio.
That worm does have a ring in it, honey.
Oh, yes.
I was already liquored up at that point. It was a free shot. If he got the shot, I got a shot. So, you
know. Oh, I see.
Okay. Oh, so in other words, you know.
He traded
some bastard over in New Orleans gets a free peek. We bring you in here how many weeks and we don't get a...
We've been through this outside,
yes. You also haven't thrown free liquor at me,
now. No, actually, the point of it being that all of these pictures of penises that are hanging on the wall are unmarked.
Ah.
So you can go to New Orleans and see the wall of peni, but you don't know which one will be his.
Well, there's a certain person we take along, and he should be able to identify it for us.
How funny.
He shall remain nameless.
Actually, I named him.
And they had, like, the colors besides pink. Did they have, like, brown and
because that's
dark
exactly
brown
what I,
and
chocolate brown. Okay.
It sounds like the making of a new contest. Name that penis.
Okay, so what type of alcohol do I need to bring next week?
Plenty?
Yeah. Honey, I got leftover from Convergence.
Oh.
I got five cases sitting over there.
Oh, they even didn't pay a visit to Christmas.
And it's different, you know, depending on what your flavor is, I got them all. The federal government got to use the word. Now, I'm going to say it one way, and I know Jimmy's going to correct me because he complained about it there.
What?
The federal government had to send out a press release that included the word bukkake.
Bukkake.
Bukkake. Basically, when you can't find a hole to stick it in, and it goes everywhere else.
A bukkake party.
Or maybe you pull it out of the hole and it goes everywhere.
A bukkake party is when one person lays on the floor and is surrounded by men who masturbate onto this person.
Instead of a golden shower, think of an ivory shower.
Yes.
So they went after this Brazilian guy for allegedly distributing obscene material. And it's obscene videos for download or delivery in the U.S. The videos include bukkake, fisting, depictions of defecation, urination, vomiting, and conjunction with sex acts.
Hey, sounds like a Saturday night report.
Yeah. So, of course, some of the titles they talked about were Toilet Man 6, Bukkake 3. Boy, that sounds like a game you'd watch on ESPN 20.
Yes.
Toilet Man 6, Bukkake 3.
He goes long, he falls back. Oh, it's good.
Did he score?
And scat pleasures. It even has, they have to have definitions in here of the stuff. Oh, we must find a definition. What is the federal government definition?
Of bukkake?
Let's see, Bukkake. Piss one. Bukkake, as used in this affidavit, refers to the genre of adult movies that include depictions of many adult males ejaculating on a single female.
Oh, okay. Female?
Oh, see, it was straight.
I never went to those kind of parties.
As used in this affidavit, refers to the genre of adult movies that include depictions of the insertion of fisted hands and sometimes other objects into human female vaginas and male and female anuses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the official, I'm not making this up. This is the official government description.
So if I lay down and have a lot of men ejaculate on me, it's not Bukkake anymore?
Yeah, well,
or kind of half is, because I'm a hermaphrodite.
It's Bukkake. It's so lovely that our government, we can't find Al-Qaeda, we can't find Osama bin Laden, but damn it, we're going to go after a Brazilian who's showing a dirty movie.
Okay. Mm.
You gotta love that.
Oh, well.
I mean, that was just a cute thing, you know. They've once again using the wonderful news gathering source of the dailyrotten.com. There's a lot of the naughty people been on here lately. Here's a guy who posted an ad saying that he was a female wanting BDSM, which is not a nice thing to do. Pedophilia. What? Which one are you laughing at? Oh. Yeah, we can't say that title there. But like I said, when you come across here and says protect the giant pink worm, I just had to go there.
Yeah.
I wonder what size cup that would be.
Ooh.
Well, I'll not only protect it, we'll pamper it. And do it nice.
Yeah. Assault with a dead chihuahua.
Assault with a dead chihuahua.
Yeah. Okay. I read the story before. This woman got a chihuahua puppy from a breeder. It died a couple days later. She went back for a refund. She wouldn't get a refund, and basically hit her with the dead dog.
Ooh.
It's like, yo, get a whack.
Oh. Assault with a deadly weapon.
It's like, did the dog went through metamorphosis yet? Or?
Apparently there.
Cool. That's what hurt.
Ouch.
There was a couple of stories on there with.
Last week we talked about the demise of the Houston Voice.
Well, it's not the demise. I forgot to tell you what it was when I put in your box there, the prototype for the new voice that's coming out.
Oh, and it was just awful. Did you read it?
I haven't read my copy I got there.
Oh, There was lots of pictures with the wrong captions.
Well, that was just a prototype for sales and all that. The new one's going to be coming out next week. For those of you who don't know, the Houston Voice is changing to a monthly format.
Yes.
The size of it is going to be something between the size of a twit to gem.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to keep the website current and up to date with the new stuff.
So they say.
So, I mean, I talked with Ed for...
Ed Alvarez?
Yeah. A good half hour.
Mm-hmm. And how's his feeling on it?
He seemed enthused about it. It was, I talked with him the week before he gave me the prototype, because I went over to get a bundle of the papers for...
Convergence,
because it had the story about us in there.
Yeah.
So,
goodness. Someone's dying.
So, I sat and talked with him for a little bit about that and, the other things. And the next time I popped in, he had the one of the prototypes he was showing me.
Yes, and then it now is the property of GCAM.
Which one are you laughing at?
I was just reading the description of this one article, and it says, it's talking about these people, these inmates in a Brazilian prison, and there's, they're describing the smells of, beans and rice and excrement and blah, 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 and marijuana, and the sounds like the occasional ring of a the occasional muffled ring of a smuggled cell phone.
So I'm wondering why the ring was muffled.
Yeah, there's another story about that. They discovered the cell phones during cavity searches. Basically, it was a new way of reach out and touch someone.
I think the official term for that is keistering.
Hey, you know, those stories go together. You're talking about, you know, Brazilian prisoners who are hiding cell phones up their butts. And then you've got the guy who's filming fisting movies out of Brazil.
Yeah, they're all about the booty.
Cross promotional. I mean, you know.
Maybe that's
not as bad as the gerbil incident.
Maybe that's the way they retrieve the cell phones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, just when I read that, I kind of got the whole, you know, mental image going on of, you know, don't ask why. It's my brain. But
someone's been very quiet.
The sound floating through my head. If you've ever had like one of those little small Nokia, the old cell phones, you just kind of know that ring. It's like da 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 da.
Oh my!
Cell phones there gives a whole new meaning to the term reach out and touch someone.
Yes.
Well, it's better than the gerbil incident.
Yes, that of course never existed, but you know. It's part of our folklore now.
If you set the phone on vibrate, and, it's a little safer. Well, aside from the lithium-ion battery, it's a little safer than gerbiling, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot more cleaner.
There's another one in there.
Anything else interesting happening in the community? Anyone?
I haven't looked at the...
If you had a vibrating telephone, would just mean you could call yourself and give yourself a thrill?
I got a...
We could get a vibrating cell phone.
We have a letter.
We got an MBB letter. And, you know, if Tigger keeps this up, I'm definitely going to have to find my way out to his neck of the woods. I got to find this copy of The Advocate. His advocate arrived, and soon after he began flipping through, he came across a one-page article with a photo of a somewhat big man wearing a T-shirt that read, "Once you go fat, you'll never go back." I figured finally someone was going to do in print what Chris does on the air. Say hey, I may not be super thin, but I accept myself and have a lot to offer for the man who could appreciate it. Someone to say I'm sexy with when you see it or not, and we'll all need to break all these molds of media-produced notions of what's attractive. I felt excited. It's about time, I thought, and besides, the guy's kind of cute. So I started reading, and it falls apart. Instead of a message of affirmation, we get a, I decided to surgically fix myself according to society's message of what's normal. What's acceptable. Now, if he lost the weight for health reasons, great. I respect that. But purely for looks, as a recovering anorexic, I hate the message it sends. Where if in this case, the end result is maybe healthier than he was, than where he was. It ends with him saying he wanted not to be judged by his appearance. What he should have said was he shouldn't be judged negatively by his appearance.
Yeah.
I asked to be judged and accepted by. I feel sad for him. I hope someday we can get past this such superficial BS. It also reminded me of how special this show is and you guys are. What a great message Chris sends by saying, no, I will not sell out or hate myself to please some stranger who's uncomfortable around me. I didn't read it in too much detail. I still struggle with accepting my body. I weigh 158. My left leg, maybe. I'm 6 foot tall. There was a time when I wouldn't have been able to say or know that without starving myself for a month to fix it. Even recovered, I have not had more than 150 pound ceiling for a long time. Oh, he of the sexy voice of KPFT helped me get past that. Is that me again?
It's certainly not me.
I was telling people at the event, I said, yeah, I get fan letters from prisoners, you know. I still carry the one around with the line of, you know, the sound of my voice gets them hard.
I would, too, if somebody wrote that for me.
And this issue of The Old Advocate reminded me of how special and amazing... Oh, dear God, I shouldn't have read this.
Go ahead.
Amazing you are, Chris, and this show and everyone on it. And how much I miss you guys. 6 months and counting since I've heard the show. Damn it. I'm going to have to go.
You got to write this guy.
Screw it. I'm going to find out how the hell to get up there. If I can find, if I, one thing I would love to do is if I can, I've got to check our sources. We, if you know, if you're out there, my source, you know who I'm talking to. If he has to know I'm coming,
you have to be on his visitors list.
Damn, I'll have to find out. But I'll just go up as a press credential. But no, I definitely have to read that. I have to, because that's something I just, you know, I spend a weekend doing was being with a group of guys that, you know, I was not the biggest guy in the room. And yes, there is a lot of people there who
I would have felt skinny.
Yeah, I mean it's. I mean, Big Roy would have felt skinny and young.
oh my God!
In some rooms, there was, you know, we had some older people there, but you know, it was one of those times of being in being surrounded by people and who know where you're coming from and can understand and can respect who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and it was one of those. When I did it 2 years ago, I was sad when I left and walked out of the hotel. I mean, I left in tears because it's, you create this insulated society.
Sure.
Over a weekend. And
then you have to go back to reality.
Go back to reality. And what actually got me the most was we took over the whole third floor of this hotel with our, you know, between where we had our banquets, where we had our hospitality room. And after we shut everything down, we were packed up the cars and all ready to go. I went back to the third floor to see one of the managers that we worked a lot with that weekend. And the floor was quiet. All the doors were closed. There was nobody there. And it's like, that's what hit me. It was like, you know, that little microcosm that we started.
Sure.
Was a thing. And, you know, that's, you know, a lot of people do need help for many different things. Health. Mental health, physical health. But, you know, there's, for some people, you know, like me, I don't really need the slice and dice method that they say on that. And I know, you know, going on this topic again, there's a person out there, if he's still awake, who's, you know, pissed off. They're talking about the fat things again.
Too bad.
Too bad. Because in our society, in general, you know, it's the pretty boys. You know, it's the Abercrombie and Fitch sort of things that sell. You know, I had one guy.
The Alex's.
Yeah. We had one guy at our event who was making a comment that, you know, he gets his clothes at American Eagle. I don't know what the hell American Eagle is.
What is their American Eagle?
That's another preppy outfit.
It's where
it's where all the clones go.
It's like a comment. It's like Abercrombie and Fitch for different levels. Yeah. Maybe I can buy socks there.
I'd rather go to American Apparel.
But, you know, I
right over here in Westheimer, because they have a lot of pink.
I mean, you know, he made a comment about, you know, that's, you know, it's kind of like Abercrombie, you know, not wanting to get into Abercrombie and Fitch stuff. I grabbed this other guy, I said, my name's Abercrombie, his name is Fitch.
give us our stuff.
You know, but it's one of those things that, playing with here. No, I definitely, you know, I got to find somebody to get in touch with Tigger, because that's so poignant that it hit at this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to dig up that advocate, and I definitely have to send them a little letter there on behalf of my, I've retained my national title. I'm still secretary of the national organization. So, I've kind of just lost it. That's it's been an emotional week, and a letter like that with that timing there just kind of hit a little bit more. So I'm rambling.
I'd like to go out with Living in Wartime. So
we're going to put that in.
We're going to say our goodbyes now.
Bye.
Oh, very quickly.
Quickly?
Yes.
Oh, he's getting ready to dibble button.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, celebrating 19 years on the air. The start of our 19th year.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll be back next week
with Diane Rose and a special guest.
After Hours at kpft.org. So long.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.